Earlier this summer, one of my guests, Jim Van Cannon of the Remnant Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, asked me why the LDS Church ordains youth to the Aaronic Priesthood. At the time, I said, I need to talk to Greg Prince because he'll probably have an answer. Now's my chance. In our next conversation, we'll talk about the evolution of LDS priesthood. Why is it that youth were ordained to the priesthood? Check out our conversation. Before we do that, I just want to mention, we'll be having a transcript of this available really shortly, so keep your eyes peeled for that. Also, please check out our books on Amazon.com. Now they're deeply discounted, and so get yourself a Christmas gift or get one of your friends or family a Christmas gift. Also, be sure to share our Facebook posts and let us know about iTunes so more people can find out about us. Thanks again. Now back to our conversation. All right, so the last topic that I wanted to talk to you about was a little bit about, in fact, I was talking to Jim Van Cannon. He's a member of the First Presidency of the Remnant Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He actually asked me a question, and he said, why do you ordain young men to the priesthood? Because it didn't used to be the case, especially in the early days of the church.
That's right.
And so can you talk about how that changed and why that changed?
My recollection is that I think it was 1904, Joseph Keeler published a book under the direction of the First Presidency. That's stated in the preface. And I'm blocking on what the name of it was, but it was almost a general handbook of instructions. I think it was Lesser Priesthood and Church Government, something like that. It went through two editions, and he changed the title later on. But as far as I can tell, that was the first time when ages were prescribed for ordination to the Aaronic Priesthood. And initially, it was 12, 15, and 18.
Oh, really?
For deacon, teacher, and priest. And then later, that was revised, so it became 12, 14, and 16. And then elder at one point was 21, and then they backed it up to 19 when the missionaries were going out at 19 instead of 21. And then when the missionaries were going out at 18, then they backed it up to 18, so that's where we are now. In the 19th century, the boys weren't part of priesthood. The teachers were really the glue that held the church together, because the teachers were what we now would call the home teachers. But they were adult men. If you go back and look at the records of the wards in the 19th century, one of the richest records, and a fascinating record, is the record of the teachers' meetings. I looked through the 8th ward, because Elijah Sheets was the bishop of that ward for 48 years. I think it's safe to say that record will never be broken.
I would think so.
But they held that meeting every week. And they would go down the roster of the ward continually and say, how is Sister So-and-so doing? Well, she needs a cord of wood. Okay, well, will you guys make sure that a cord of wood is delivered to her to get her through the winter? How is Brother So-and-so? And it really was, I just said it, the glue, I think, that held the church together. But it was all the adult men who were the ordained teachers. And that's what they did. It wasn't until you get into the 20th century that you have the notion of the boys now doing this stuff. And then pretty much they had to decide, okay, so what do we have the boys doing? Well, the priests were blessing the sacrament by canon, and that's in there from the beginning. What about the teachers? Well, now you got boys doing the teaching, and if you look carefully...
Yeah, the teachers are supposed to watch over the church.
Uh-huh, and the 14-year-olds, nah. So what do we wind up doing? Well, we have them as junior companions, and we'll have them prepare the sacrament. Where is that in the scripture? Not there. It's okay, but it's not there. And the deacons are appendages anyway. So what do we do with them? Okay, we'll have them pass the sacrament. I've got a copy of a letter written by President Grant to somebody who says, hey, look, we got this non-Mormon kid. He's very faithful. And I presume he was not a church member, because at that time it required the consent of the parents for a boy to be baptized. He comes out to meetings regularly. He's part of the deacon's quorum, but he's not a member. Would it be okay if he passed the sacrament? Yeah, it'd be okay.
Oh, really? This is what year?
This was in the 30s.
In the 1930s. Hmm.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Keeler book was called Lesser Priesthood and Church Covenant. But in that book, he says, any priesthood holder, and he had ranked the hierarchy as we normally do, you know, high priests, 70s, elders, and then you get priest, teachers, deacons, can ordain somebody to an equivalent or lower office, including Aaronic priesthood. Now, we have still allowed priests to ordain to the Aaronic priesthood.
I believe that's canonical, right, in section 20?
I'd have priests, to go back and
yeah, priests can ordain out of the priests. I'm pretty sure that's in there.
But the rules of the church for several decades were a teacher can ordain a teacher or a deacon can ordain a deacon. One of the weirdest things that happened when I was doing my 7 years of research on priesthood, I was flying out to Los Angeles because I was lecturing at UCLA. Well, it was shortly after laptop computers came out. And so I was doing data entry on my laptop as I was flying. And I had a small book that I was copying from, because at that point I just had to type it all in. And the guy across the aisle looked and he saw it was an LDS book, and he says, you LDS? Yeah. Well, I'm LDS too. And I said, this is really fascinating in here, because it says a deacon can ordain another deacon. And he says, funny you should mention that, because I was ordained to the office of deacon by a deacon. You got to be kidding me. He says, no, I will send you a photocopy of my ordination certificate, which he did.
No way.
It's from about 1950.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really recent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fluid. Don't get hung up.
I mean, I think that would be great. It does seem to me, my son's 14 years, oh, actually just turned 15. And he's actually my home teaching partner. But it does seem to me that the bishops today, as opposed to the bishops when I was 14, do try to give the Aaronic priesthood a little bit more responsibility. I know they, in our ward, they sit up with the high priest and the bishopric at the beginning of opening exercises and give announcements and that sort of thing. And it seems like they try to include them in prayers more often, in priesthood meetings and that sort of a thing. Much more so than when I did. But it's surprising to me to hear that in the 50s a deacon was ordaining a deacon, and now we're not doing that. Why do you think that is?
Because somebody at a high level decided, no, we're not going to do that anymore. Often that's what it comes down to.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you spending so much time talking with me here on Gospel Tangents. I know these always go on longer, but I could probably sit here for another 2 hours and talk to you. I might have to make another appointment next time you're in town. So once again, Greg Prince, thank you so much for taking some time and talking with us.
You're welcome.
I hope you enjoyed listening to Greg Prince, and I'd like to thank him for spending so much time talking with us. In our next conversation, I'd like to introduce Dr. David Conley Nelson. He's written a book on the Mormon Church in Nazi Germany. It's got some really interesting insights into this. Check out this insight.
But they still had much more oversight by the German secret police. In fact, the Germans had said the Prussian secret police was so effective that they could, they knew when missionaries were dispatched from Salt Lake City and making their way to the East Coast to catch a ship to come to Germany. They knew that because they had a secret police network among German immigrants in the United States.
Click here to subscribe, click here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some other videos that we've done here on YouTube. We hope you'll use this as a valuable resource to learn more about Mormon history.